Good evening and welcome to 7x70. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard coming to you from, it's a beautiful radio ranch it was today. Clouds got a big fire south of us down in Colorado at just a few miles into the state. We've got a big plume we can see from here, but hey, it's August 13th. I want to welcome you. Thank you for joining us. Make sure I got all the buttons pushed here. But I want to thank you, Remnant, for joining us here this beautiful, again, it was a beautiful August day. And so I hope you had a blessed day today. We're in full swing. It's summer out here at the Radio Ranch, and it's just nonstop between the phone orders. And Jason's got the website back up and running, and at least in a limited fashion. The catalog is back online, the SFA store. So if you're interested in buying some stuff, had some phone orders today. And so things are good. God is good. When we delight in Him, well, that makes things better for us. You know, the Bible says in Ephesians 2:14, it tells us that He Himself is our peace. Now, that doesn't mean there's going to be peace in the world. That doesn't mean that there's going to be peace at work and peace in and around everything that we do. But He is our peace. He is our peace. I'm going to talk a little bit about that tonight. Got a few more things from China and Hong Kong thought I'd share with you. That's kind of, I shared some of that last week, and got to talk about it Sunday morning at church a little bit. Lots going on in China and Hong Kong and whatnot. Things that we should be paying attention to. How about that? I hope we're doing that very thing. But you know, before we get any further, let's start out with a word of prayer, and then we'll get moving right on with these few minutes that we have together. Well, Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord, for this beautiful day. Thank You for the time that You have given us, the opportunity, Father, to walk here and to choose to turn away from the ways of the world and the thoughts of the world, and to choose to follow You. Lord, I thank You for that perish the thought prayer, that we can do that very thing, that we can activate that. And Lord, thank You for allowing us to recognize when those thoughts are not ours, when those thoughts that come that do not glorify You. Forgive us, Lord, when we don't get rid of them soon enough, but Lord, thank You that You allow us to send those to You, that Lord, we can pray that. I hope You pray that, Remnant. Lord, I hope that Your Remnant prays it, that we can give those thoughts to You, and we can choose to do our best to stay on that straight and narrow path, that we can honor the words of Jesus Christ, believe His words when He said, straight is the way, narrow is the way, straight is the gate, straight, it's not a broad is the way that leads to destruction, but narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there are that find it. Thank You that You've allowed us to find it, Lord. Thank You. Thank You, Lord. Guide and direct us. Guide and direct my thoughts and words this evening, Lord, as I do my best to encourage the remnant, Lord, to warn, to reprove, to rebuke. Lord, let them know that it is all in love. It is all given in love. It is given, Lord, to help to encourage them, to outfit them, Lord, to staff them up, to have them ready, Lord, to have victory in the battle that we're in, and Lord, to be able to share Your goodness and Your mercy and Your peace, to be able to share that with others. And we, Lord, that is our duty here, to honor You and to share Your goodness with others. And I pray all this, Lord, to Your glory. In Jesus Christ's name, amen and amen. You know, in 2 Timothy 3:1, this verse just keeps coming up time and time again, because it sure seems to me that this is it. In 2 Timothy 3:1, I hope you have it memorized. I hope you at least have it highlighted in your Bible or underlined or something. And it says, but realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. I didn't get to see the details, but they had a difficult time down at Fort Collins, where just, our little LaPorte church is just outside of Fort Collins. And I heard Antifa made for a difficult time in Fort Collins last night. I haven't had a chance to really research it, but I've had a couple people let me know that. And, you know, there's difficult times. Businesses are closed. it's good to see summer open back up. Was able to notice that in town today, that more and more businesses are opening up, and that's a good thing. But it's difficult times. It's difficult times, and we are seeing those times like our parents did not see, different times than they saw. And I'm not saying they're worse. They had their times. They certainly did. But we haven't seen riots like this in this country, I don't think, ever. I think that the riots in the 60s pale in comparison to what we've been seeing. Portland, what are you now, 75 days, or 75 nights, I should say, of nightly rioting? The police chief's resigned because the city council won't let her do her job, won't let the policeman protect and serve. Isn't that what we used to see on the old black and whites? To protect and serve. But your city police, folks, we have to remember, the city police, they do as the city commissioners and the mayor dictate. And if they're told to allow rioting, to allow buildings to burn, well, that's what they have to do. And that's where they are. That's where they are. And that's where we are as a nation. Difficult times will come. Difficult times have come. So just going by 2 Timothy 3:1, in the last days, difficult times will come. I think it works to let us know that these are the last days. Their changes are coming. I've shared with you before, but I actually did a newsletter article on the 10th anniversary of 9/11. Back in 2011, on 9/11/2011, it was just a couple short months after Pastor had passed away. But I remember on 9/11 coming down here to the Radio Ranch, and the pastor was in his office that morning, and sometimes I had the opportunity to stop by and enjoy a cup of coffee with him in the morning. And boy, those were, I miss those days. I do. They were, looking back on them, they were great times. They were times that I didn't realize it, but I was thankfully learning from the great man and prophet and seer that Pastor Peters was and is. And I remember walking in his office that morning, and he said, "Richard, look here. A jet just hit one of the World Trade Centers." And I looked up, and he had a little TV in the corner of his office, and as we're sitting there watching it, here comes the other plane. And it, too, hit the second tower. And Pastor said, he said, "Richard, this changes everything. Nothing will be the same again." And you know, since 9/11, it hasn't. We had President Bush at that time. We got the Patriot Act out of that. And we got, you know, our federal ID, federal validated ID that some states are not recognized. Your driver's license from some states don't allow you to travel. And that's what we got out of that. And so nothing has been the same since. The military complex has just grown astronomically. Difficult times. Difficult times. Realize this also, just as 2 Timothy 3:1 says, when we read of the difficult times in the Bible, they did not happen over the weekend. It wasn't just a difficult time came and it's Wednesday or Thursday and there it is, and then they were through it in a day. No, it they built up. When you read history, you see that as societies, especially in the Bible days, as they changed, especially as they moved away from a God-fearing society, as the influences of the East, as the Bible puts it, came into more and more into their lives, the people moved for the more prosperous they got, the more they forgot God. Does that sound familiar? Because that's how it is today. The more prosperous we have become, the further away from God we, as Americans, have moved. Now, that's not an exact, that's not for each and every individual, but I think that it proves the point. And it we read through the Old Testament and see the same things, that in difficult, you know, in the last days, difficult times will come, because God only puts up with so much. With so much. And so, I think we are in the last days. I take the difficult times that we see as part of that, But we are seeing a battle forming in this nation. And we would like to think that there's more Christians and more people that have repented and will repent and turn to God than not. And I think it's somewhat representative. It's not exact, but it's representative, if that's the right word, by the this year's anyway, presidential race. That we have on the right, we have our president who claims to be a Christian, uses the words of Jesus Christ, has done more in the last 3 years against abortion than the last 30 years in this country, than what's been done from the Oval Office. And so he is not perfect. He was as big a sinner as we all have been. But if you notice, it sure seems like he's changed. And by his fruits, you will know him. And he has done more to preserve what we consider as right-wing Christians, the American way of life, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. He has done more for that and against the ungodly in the 3 years he's been in office, I say again, than the previous 30 years of presidents. And who's up against him now that Joe Biden, and you know, it's sad to see Joe Biden. They continue to put this puppet up there. He is suffering from dementia. I'm not making fun of him at all. We're not to do that. But it is a sad thing that this is what the enemy is doing. That they are using him as a pawn. And that lets you know their whole attitude and outlook anyway. They have no regard for human life. They want to further their agenda. And now they picked this Kamala Harris that is just one of the most left-wing, liberal, anti-American people that could be chosen. And so it really is that just highlights it. That's not the only battle. But I think it highlights and shows where I hope most people see what this battle is coming down to. And when you read through the Old Testament, when the Amalekites would come in, when the Philistines would come in, when the Midianites would come in Gideon's day, and like locust in number it would talk about, and take over. Well, certainly it was because of the sin of the people, but it didn't happen all at once. They would come in, they would get a boots on the ground, they would come in and get established. Maybe, you know, of course, it all started with trade and trading with the ungodly. And that's where we're at now. That's where we're at now. I hope you can see the parallels. I hope you can. This mess with China, you know, we talked last week about their flooding and the spying and how are they feeding their people and all that's going on. And all that is still going on. That's not something that was just happening last week or last month. It continues. It continues to grow. I saw this headline, and this is what I wanted to get to. That this national security law, I saw this in the South China Morning Post, August 11th, so it was just a couple days, and it's that, you know, the made in China, that's kind of been a big thing. That's kind of been brought up. Our president's brought it up in this recent China scare, this China virus. Not only was the virus made in China, but come to find out, most of the PPE here, the personal protective equipment, things like masks and gloves and gowns that we have all taken for granted, that just seems like there were always plenty of it. Oh, that all that's made in China as well. And it didn't take the Chinese very long just to say, oh, well, we just can't keep shipping that to you. So that kind of got a few people's attention. And so now this made in China, it's not real hard to look for a made in USA tag. It's hard to find one. But it's not hard to look and see the things that are made in China. It's almost everything. Look at the bottom of your coffee cup. Okay? Don't pour your coffee out. But when you finish it, if that's what you're drinking now, or your tea glass, whatever it is, look at the bottom of it and see. I've got a cup here, real nice cup, and on the bottom, made in China. That's how it is, because it's hard to get. No, it's not a Tervis. I mean, it's not a Yeti. Can't afford those, but it's a knockoff, and it's made. It keeps, you know, keeps the cold and the hot. But it's made in China. Well, new law has been put in that says now Hong Kong goods for export to the U.S. must be relabeled made in China. And that is a change. See, it's a change. It's things are not like they were last week, last month, last year, 10 years ago. Things are changing. And there were several things that I thought were interesting in this article. So after September 25th, goods made in Hong Kong or coming through Hong Kong, labeled for export to the U.S., will have to say made in China. And I thought this was interesting. Hong Kong now is, and if you've seen, remember Hong Kong before this COVID virus, Hong Kong was having protests. They were crying out saying they wish they had the Second Amendment. Because China, Communist China, is cracking down on Hong Kong. The police are arresting dissenters. They've kicked journalists out. I get that. I can tell you, say, firsthand, secondhand, real close. I know a journalist that has been denied entry back into Hong Kong after having free entry for years. And he has been denied entry because China is cracking down on Hong Kong. Thought this was interesting. Hong Kong is much more significant as a re-export hub than a direct trading hub in its own right. Its economy is a much different beast than in the 70s and 80s when it was a manufacturing stronghold. Now, only 1% of goods shipped from Hong Kong to the U.S. are made in that city. Instead, they are a logistical gateway for mainland China, to and from mainland China, for both goods made there and going there. And so, see, China, made in Hong Kong is just, it's made in China by slave labor, communistic slave labor. It's labeled made in Hong Kong because they're going to send it. They send it through Hong Kong into the U.S. This has been going on since. I had another quote here. since the Hong Kong Policy Act of 1992. So even when you see made in Hong Kong, it has been made in China, and so our president has said, "Wait a minute. We're not going to continue to do this. We're not going to do this." And he stopped it. Saw this, thought this was interesting. This one, Arthur Lee Kam Hung, is the CEO of Hong Kong's Xtals, a manufacturer of high-tech components used in, get this folks, 5G. Why haven't you seen 5G yet? 5G was going to roll out and going to be the greatest, latest, greatest. It's been put on hold. We've talked to you about that. Because our president did away with the Huawei company here in the U.S. Just like we reported last week, TikTok and WeWatch and all these Chinese businesses and software and hardware and apps. It's all part of the spy network, folks. That's what it all is. And China's been doing it, getting away from it, paying pennies on the dollar to our all of the Clinton and the Obama administration and their cabinets to do this. And now our president calls them out. How about that? Anyway, so this CEO of Hong Kong Xtals, a manufacturer of high-tech components used in 5G base stations and autonomous vehicles. His firm sells some products out of Hong Kong, and he says, "Oh, the new rules won't affect us much, since our company has already distanced itself from, quote, an outdated and volatile American market. And that's because our president has said, hey, we're not doing that. We're not going to have that 5G. We're not going to let you, Huawei, roll in here with your China spying and do all this. And so, anyway, it's interesting to see these bits and pieces, keys to the puzzle. This week, the Hong Kong police force arrested pro-democracy figures in Hong Kong under a sweeping new law just this last week, including high-profile media mogul Jimmy Lai Chi-ying, detained on Monday. Things are continuing to change regarding China and Hong Kong. Okay? And so, when you look at, there's a couple of verses that really came to mind. I think I shared them Sunday morning. But Judges 6:3, the time of Gideon. We mentioned Gideon earlier. Judges 6:3 says, "For it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites would come up with the Amalekites and the sons of the east and go against them." And of course, that's the beginning of the story of Gideon. And when Gideon cried out to God, and because Gideon knew that it was because God had abandoned them. God had allowed this to happen. And the angel of the Lord, remember, tells Gideon, "Go in this your strength, Gideon, you mighty warrior." See, that was his strength, because he knew God had done that to him. How about Isaiah 2, 5 and 6? Same thing. "Come, house of Jacob, and let us walk in the light of the Lord. For you have abandoned your people." See, that's the acknowledgement to God. Read in your Bible. Look at it. The "you" is capitalized. That's who it references, God. This could read, "For God has abandoned God's people, the house of Jacob, because they," the house of Jacob, us, that's us today, folks, "are filled with influences from the east." That's why God has abandoned his people. How about Isaiah 46, 11 and 12? God says, "I'll be calling a bird of prey from the east, the man of my purpose from a far country. Truly, God says, I have spoken. Truly, I will bring it to pass. I have planned it. Surely, I will do it. Listen to me, you stubborn-minded, who are far from righteousness." Folks, Americans, that's where this nation is today. Far from righteousness. Far from righteousness. And God is allowing the things that were done in the past, the things that were done in secret, the filth and the sin that the Antichrist have gotten away with for so long. He's allowing those things now to be brought to light. He's allowing them now for us to, well, for them to be brought out into the light, for his light to be shined on it and said, yeah, look here, this is what's been going on. This has been allowed. This is what your presidents have been doing. This is what your governors have been doing. This is what your mayors have been doing. This is what the filth in Hollywood has been doing. Whether it's selling secrets to China and getting filthy rich over it, or making the porn movies and the filth of pedophilia. See, it's all coming to light. It's all coming to light. Now, what is done about it, that's different. And that will determine the outcome of this nation, folks. I think God is fed up with it. I think he's getting ready to take a walk like he did to go see Abram on the way to Sodom and Gomorrah. I think God's getting his sandals out. He's getting ready to take that walk. And it's going to be just like that walk. Do you remember that? Let's go back and take a look. Way back in the beginning, because As it was, so shall it be. And there is a time for all things. And this time again is fast approaching. This time again. Oh, it's not far away. It's not far away at all. It's not. Do you remember this? Abram comes on in Genesis 12. He journeys to Egypt. And then in 13, Abram and Lot. And God promises Abram. He promises him a son. Remember the story? That it's back in the beginning. And it's Genesis 18 that we need to take a look at. Genesis 18, we'll pick it up in verse 16. And the men rose up from there. That's the angels that Abraham has come and has offered an offering to him that they've told him. And it's the Lord that's there that Sarah's going to have a son. He's an old man, but he's told. And so we know that. Verse 16, then the men rose up from there and looked down toward Sodom. And Abraham was walking with them to send them off. The Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do, since Abraham will surely become a great and mighty nation, and in him all the nations of the earth will be blessed. For I have chosen him so that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring upon Abraham what he has spoken about him. Folks, that rings true today. What other nation has been founded on doing righteousness and justice? And I tell you, no other nation has been founded on righteousness and justice like this new Jerusalem, this new Jerusalem that we live in. And that's just what it is, the new Jerusalem, based on keeping the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice. No, not just by allowing anybody that wants to worship any way they want. That's not the basis. That's not the foundation. That's what the ungodly will tell you. But it's back here in the beginning of Genesis. Verse 20. And the Lord said, the outcry of Sodom and Gomorrah is indeed great, and their sin is exceedingly grave. I will go down now and see if they have done entirely according to its outcry, which has come to me. And if not, I will know. And remember the story, Abram comes to him and he says, Lord, will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked? And then he, oh, dare say he argues with God? And then we know the rest of the story. The angels come down there and the filth comes even to the angels. And then they are wiped out. They are wiped off the face of the earth. That now, thousands of years later. Oh, I've heard said and seen research that they said Sodom and Gomorrah was a very advanced civilization. God wiped them off the face of the earth. Because their outcry came to him. The sin that was there. And we read in the New Testament, Christ talks of the cities that, you know, woe to you, what is it, Chidron, Sidon, whatever it is. I don't have it marked today, tonight. That Sodom and Gomorrah, they'd have to apologize to him. God would have to apologize for destroying Sodom and Gomorrah and not these other cities who witnessed the blessings of Jesus Christ. Folks, I tell you, this country has witnessed, the people in America have witnessed the glory and the blessings of Jesus Christ and have turned from him. Revelation 3, verse 17, let's take a look at that. Because that applies, because this has not been bought and it needs to be bought. Revelation 3, verse 17, this is getting real close, right? Getting real close. Actually, let's back it up a little bit. Let's back it up. Revelation 3:13 says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." And to the angel of the church, to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, "I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I would that you were cold or hot. Because you are lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will spit you out of my mouth." See, that's what's coming. That's coming. God is, he's getting ready to spit the lukewarm out of his mouth. He's coming. He's on his way like he was on the way to Sodom and Gomorrah, because he has heard of the outcry. He has heard of the sin of the land. Don't you think the millions of babies that have been aborted, their blood cries out from the land, remnant. Those that have been killed, those that the evil that has been done by past administrations in getting rich at the expense of God's people, that cries out from the ground. Revelation 3:17. "Because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing." And see, there are many in this land that are that way. Oh, they don't go around saying that they're rich, but they feel that they've become wealthy. They've gotten ahead. Or maybe it's, you know, husband works, wife works. They have no time for the family, no time for the children. Somebody else raises them, this ungodly public fool system. But they say, "I have need of nothing," because they just work, work, work. They think they've arrived. They think they're doing good because they got a better paying job. They've got the bigger house, the better cars. "I'm rich, I'm wealthy, I have need of nothing." God says, "Because you say this, and you do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." See, that's our time today, where so many are. So many are, and it's because they are apart from our God. Because they haven't had the blessings of you, that you had, remnant. They haven't had the blessings and the opportunity. Call it remnant privilege. How about that? But it's available to all that will, as we're going to read right here, what God tells us to do and what he offers. He said, "Because you say these things," then God says, as he does all throughout his scripture, he doesn't leave you with the bad news, but he'll tell you what it is. Verse 18, he says, "Because of this," verse 18, he says, "I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire, that you may become rich, and white garments that you may clothe yourself, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and eye salve to anoint your eyes, that you may see." Hebrews 5:12 says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you've come to need milk and not solid food," and that's where we are. That's where we are. Solid food is for the mature. Here's some milk. Buy from God his gold, refined by fire, so that you can be rich. And buy from God the white garments that he offers, so that you may clothe yourself, so that you would not be naked anymore, because you're naked and don't even know it when you're not clothed with Christ. And buy from him eye salve, to anoint your eyes so that you may see what he wants you to see. Verse 19 says, "Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." See for what this is. Does this remind you of the wise and foolish virgins? I hope that it does. The wise virgins, remember, they had bought their oil of understanding, so that when the bridegroom came, they were able to trim their wicks. That means they had their houses in order. And remember, this is milk, folks. Those wise virgins, they were Christians. The foolish virgins were too, that had not bought that oil of understanding. They were not ready when the bridegroom came. Okay? That story I read you in Genesis, think of Abraham and Sarah as the wise virgins. They were ready. They knew when God came, they knew him. They knew what was coming. That's why Abraham argued with God and pleaded with God to save any righteous that were there. He had his house in order. He had eyes to see. And the foolish virgins, well, they got burned up. They got burned up. Read that story in Matthew of the wise and foolish virgins. Because to those that didn't have the oil of understanding, to those that were not ready, do you remember what Jesus told to them? Depart from me, I never knew you. If you don't want to hear those words from Jesus Christ, depart from me, I never knew you, then you better find out what that means. You better be like a king and research the matter and look into it. Don't believe me, go to your Bible. Don't believe your preacher on Sunday, go to your Bible. I won't be standing with you there on Judgment Day. It'll just be you and God, and I hope you are ready and have that oil of understanding. Because if you don't, there's no going back then. There's no repenting then. Those that were not ready when the bridegroom comes, when the bridegroom came in that story of the wise and foolish virgins, depart from me, they were told. We don't want that to happen to us. So buy his gold refined by fire. Pay the price. How do you pay the price? Well, you become a truth junkie. You look to his word. You read his word. You pray. You repent. You return to the God of your fathers. The God of our fathers. Verse 20 of Revelation 3 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. That's what he's doing. He's knocking. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will dine with him and him with me. But see, if you hear him knocking and you just ignore it, he won't come in and dine. He won't. We've talked, you've heard us many times talk about our names being written in the Lamb's Book of Life and that being required. I thought this was interesting. At the end of Daniel 12, verse 1 says, now at that time, Michael, the great prince who stands guard over the sons of your people, will arise. And there will be a time of distress such as never occurred since there was a nation until that time. And at that time, your people, everyone who is found written in the book, will be rescued. Verse 3 says, those who have insight will shine brightly like the brightness of the expanse of heaven. And those who lead the many to righteousness, like the stars forever and ever. But as for you, Daniel, conceal these words and seal up the book until the end of time. Many will go back and forth and knowledge will increase. Well, see, I think that's happened. And I think that that's where we are. Because those that have insight, well, they had that peace. Remember, I talked about that peace that, because Christ is our peace. That's that peace that he talks about. We are in those last days where difficult times will come. Difficult times have come. It's not doom and gloom. Not at all. It is not doom and gloom. Isaiah 46:22 says, turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. Turn to me and be saved. Turn to me and be saved, he says. This is good times. It is. It is Bible. It is Bible times that we are living in, folks. It's not doom and gloom. We have work to do. We have to buy that gold. We have to buy those white garments. Remember Galatians? All those that are baptized into Christ have clothed themselves with Christ. Then, as we read, you shine brightly. Because you have that insight. But only then. Only then. Back to Revelation 3:21. Revelation 3:21. He who overcomes. You know, Pastor did a, and not everybody gets this, Pastor did a great message, and he mentioned it several times, but I think this past Sunday or the Sunday before we played one of his messages and where he mentioned that's what you need to be an overcomer. To overcome. What do you have to have to overcome? What do you have to be an overcomer? Well, first and foremost, you have to have something to overcome. Something to overcome. That's like verse 19. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. Sometimes we have to overcome the reproof of God. Sometimes we have to overcome the discipline that it takes. The reproving and the rebuking. And we have to overcome the trials and the troubles. But verse 21 of Revelation 3 says, he who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit down with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. We see a lot about make America great again. How? How do you make America great again? Well, you repent and return to God. You look to God's righteousness. God's righteousness. You read through that all through the Old Testament. That's what was needed. In Ezekiel 18, verse 30 says, therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, each according to his conduct, declares the Lord God. Repent and turn away from all your transgressions, so that iniquity may not become a stumbling block to you. Cast away from you all your transgressions which you have committed, and make yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. Save yourselves, is what he tells us. Save yourselves. Do we do that by voting Republican? Well, it's better than voting Democrat, I can tell you that. That's part of casting away from you your transgressions, because, Remnant, we have allowed abortion in this land for too long. So you better vote for the party that wants to get rid of it instead of voting for the party that wants to amplify it. How about that? Is that simple enough for you? Is that simple enough? Can you remember that to share with others? No, the Republicans aren't perfect, but by God, at least they like life instead of death. God's giving us this opportunity. You've heard Brother Jonathan talk about the reprieve that we've been getting. Well, folks, that reprieve is winding down, I firmly believe. It is winding down. It's time to put your money where your mouth is and do. Are you getting out and do? One thing you need to do, you need to register to vote, and you need to vote Republican. Because that, or how about this? Vote pro-life. How about that? Vote anti-abortion and vote pro-life. Whoever goes for that, whoever promises to be pro-life and anti-abortion, vote for them. Okay? Okay, at least do that. Cast away from you your transgressions which you have committed, and make yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. For why will you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of anyone who dies, declares the Lord God. And so I say, why will you die, America? Why will you die to the American way of life? The way our forefathers intended it. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. judging and governing yourself so that we don't have to have 14 million laws to judge and govern you? Why will you die, America? Why? And he finishes this, Ezekiel 18, with, therefore, repent and live. And America, that's the bottom line. Repent and live, or stay the way you are and die. God has even says earlier, in verse 23, do I have any pleasure in the death of the wicked, declares the Lord? Rather that he should turn from his ways and live. But understand, the wicked will die. God has no pleasure in it, but he is holy, and that's how it is. So is it with me, so is it with my family, with you and your family, with this nation, with any nation. And I'm telling you, God's he's had enough. He's had enough. I think he's getting ready to walk down and talk to Abraham. I think that time is coming again. That time that the sin, the wickedness of the land had cried out, and God heard it, and he said, I'm going to go take a look and see. I think he's putting his sandals on, folks. I really do. I really do. You can believe it or not. That's how I believe. I believe that time is here. You know, 28 years we've been on this ministry. 28 and a half years. How about that? 19 years we've lived out here. Worked for Pastor Peters for 10 years. And you know, if nothing else, as bad as I am, as much of a backwoods country cracker boy from Florida, I did my best to pay attention to Pastor's teachings. And I'm not fit to polish his boots, but I paid attention. This is what's coming, folks. It is upon us. It is upon us. You're seeing from the secular world, the election's not against a Republican or Democrat. It's Americanism versus communism. It's right versus wrong. This is coming from the secular world. Brother Jonathan did a great job in the last newsletter pointing out that's what God does. He reveals, even to the secular world, what's happening. And he has done that. He has done that. Well, Remnant, thanks for tuning in. I'm out of time and out of voice. Hey, come back Saturday morning, we'll have coffee with the Wranglers right here, 7 a.m. Mountain, 8 a.m. Central, 9 a.m. Eastern, right here at scripturesforamerica.org, on the shortwave, on the internet, the call-in numbers. I hope you join us there. God bless you, Remnant. If you have friends, share these verses with them. I'll be glad to email them to you if that's what you need. God bless.
And I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse.
There's a man going round taking names, and he decides who to free and who to blame. Everybody won't be treated all the same. There'll be a golden ladder reaching down when the man comes around. The hairs on your arm will stand up at the terror in each sip and in each sup. Will you partake of that last offered cup, or disappear into the potter's ground when the man comes around? Hear the trumpets, hear the pipers, 100 million angels singing, multitudes are marching to the big kettle drum. Voices calling, voices crying, some are born and some are dying. It's Alpha and Omega's kingdom come. and the whirlwind is in the thorn tree. The virgins are all trimming their wicks. The whirlwind is in the thorn tree. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Till Armageddon, no shalom, no shalom. Then the father hen will call his chickens home. The wise men will bow down before the throne. And at his feet, they'll cast their golden crowns. When the man comes around. Whoever is unjust, let him be unjust still. Whoever is righteous, let him be righteous still. Whoever is filthy, let him be filthy still. Listen to the words long written down. When the man comes around. Hear the trumpets, hear the pipers. 100 million angels singing. Multitudes are marching to the big kettle drum. Voices calling, voices crying. Some are born and some are dying. It's Alpha and Omega's kingdom come. And the whirlwind is in the thorn tree. The virgins are all trimming their wicks. The whirlwind is in the thorn tree. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. In measured a hundredweight and penny pound. When the man comes around.
His name that sat on him was Death, and Hell followed with him.